crawl out of the shadows and find that eventually there we are, where we are, and what we are is still family.
It's Monday. That's the day we talk about family on The Takeaway. Joining us now is Takeaway contributor Lisa Belkin. She writes the parenting and family blog Motherload for our partner, The New York Times. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
So today you're talking about siblings, and one of the things that caught your eye recently is some interesting research about siblings. What did you find in this new research?
Well, there's a wonderful book out called Nurture Shock, so I can't take credit for it. And it relooks at why our kids fight. And much of the research that is described here is, well, it's reassuring. It says don't get involved. You can't fix it. What you can do is help them fix it themselves.
Okay, so we're joined by Lori Kramer, Associate Dean of Academic Programs and Professor of Applied Family Studies at the University of Illinois, Founding Director of the Family Resiliency Center. She joins us from Illinois. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning.
So one of the things you say is that you can predict the quality of a sibling relationship before the younger child's even born, which would lend to this argument that parents can't change these sibling bickerings, right?
Well, you can predict it before the second sibling is even born, which I find absolutely amazing. But it really makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Young children have relationships with other children even before they become siblings. And it's the social and emotional competencies that children learn from these other relationships and demonstrate in those relationships that turn out to be very predictive of how well siblings are going to get along later on in life.
So
is it bad that siblings fight, or is it a part of their development? I guess, you know, sometimes the decibel level's a little high in my house. It's hard for me to sort through that, Lori.
Exactly. Well, it's not pleasant, that's for sure. And too much of it or too intense fighting is not good. So we're not talking here about fighting that's abusive, emotionally hurtful, or physically hurtful for children. But really, children engage in a lot of conflicts, as you know, and a lot of that actually does have some implications for children's development. Through fighting, actually, kids learn how to handle fights. They learn how to deal with a lot of the emotions that come with fighting. They learn some strategies for managing conflict. And in many ways, they learn about who they are and what they believe in.
So here's a situation that many parents and siblings may recognize.
Did you hit your sister?
Well, yeah, but...
I thought we told you that hitting each other is not allowed.
But she is constantly provoking me.
She does that on purpose, and you're a sucker for that every time.
So, Lisa, I mean, many parents recognize that. Kids, the older kid hitting the younger kid because the younger kid is purposely pestering the older kid.
And the father's pathetic analysis that is not helping. Also very recognizable there.
That's right. Everyone's been in that situation, right, Lisa?
No, I remember it, too, when my two-year-old looked at me and pointed to the infant in his car seat and said, "Mommy, he provoked me." it starts early. It does make me feel a bit better to think in terms of what Lori was saying, that they need to do this in order to learn how to do this. Maybe that's the Zen mantra that can get some of us through. They need to figure out how to work this out, which doesn't mean they should be allowed to kill each other. But it does mean that we can't micromanage each bit of it.
But, is there a way for kids to learn what's a serious dispute versus a silly dispute? I mean, we get a lot of, looking at me wrong kinds of arguments, and I'm wondering
if that's... breathing the same air as
yeah.
I am.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Mm-hmm. What do you do about that? I mean...
You have to step in, right? I mean, you have to say, that's ridiculous, go back to your room and stay quiet, right?
Well, we have two psychologists on the line who have worked it out.
Well, we're joined, right? Lori, so what's your answer? At some point, the parents have to step in and say, quit it.
You know, what's most important is that kids learn the skills that they need to be able to understand what's going on and handle those conflicts in a productive way. The thing is that we can't really expect children, especially under the age of 8, to figure this out on their own. So when we say, that we need to let them work it out, we need to be sure that they have the skills and tools to be able to do that. Otherwise, we're running the risk that they can hurt each other or that it's just not going to be a very productive experience for them.
Okay. Okay, we're also joined by Valerie Purdy Vaughn's assistant psychology professor at Columbia University. So,
hi.
Valerie, we had that clip from The Cosby Show about the siblings hitting each other. And I'm wondering, this recent study focused mostly on middle-class white families who are based around the Urbana-Champaign area in Illinois. Does the nature of these sibling relationships change when you go to, say, a Latino family or an African-American family?
Well, unfortunately, there is not a lot of research in this area using different ethnic groups. Having said that, I was just at the Great Books Festival yesterday, and first of all, the dynamics of what a nuclear family looks like is really, really changing, whether it be transcultural, transracial adoption, older grandparents taking care of younger children. And so the dynamics, I would imagine, are going to change because what it means to have a nuclear family shifts. And some of the research I do, just asking kids who lives in the house with them, particularly African-American, Latino, and even Asian-American families, is a very complicated question for even 6th, 7th, and 8th graders. Having said that, I don't know of any research on ethnic differences in sibling rivalry, but there are lots of interesting findings about research on parenting styles that differ by ethnicity. One of the findings that many African-American and Latino families are the parents tend to be authoritarian. So a lot stricter, a lot more interested in rules, really kind of laying down the law. And so one could imagine that that would have implications for sibling rivalry. Maybe, you know, not so much of that. Having said that, you just showed the Cosby clip, so I don't know what that means. But one could see, you could see particularly in neighborhoods where it's not as safe, you really need to clamp down on children. And so that might wind up resulting in children that may not sort of argue that much, or at least in the same kinds of ways that was talked about this morning.
I would imagine that also when you start seeing shifts in socioeconomic status for families, that also plays out as a difference in how sibling rivalries and sibling bickeries is taken care of. Is that true?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, even in terms of who is, so the parents tend to always be the primary caretakers, or a guardian, or a grandparent, or aunt, or uncle. But also what happens is a lot of times in lower socioeconomic classes, older children are taking care of younger children.
Right.
So
they're always the peacemakers. Oldest.
Yeah, yeah.
And thank God for the oldest.
Yeah.
So says an oldest child.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So that dynamic is also going to have an impact as well. I mean, this is such a fascinating and important area of research, and there just needs to be so much more that, you know, right here in New York would be just, a huge adventure to see how this works out in terms of sibling rivalry.
Valerie Purdy Vaughn's, thank you, assistant psychology professor at Columbia University. We also heard from Lisa Belkin, author of the New York Times Family and Parenting blog, and Lori Kramer, associate dean of academic programs and professor of applied family studies at the University of Illinois. Thank you to you all.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.